I want to begin today's message with a definition found at nerdwallet.com. This is an investing website. And it asks the question, what is diversification? Diversification is the act of spreading investment dollars across a range of assets to reduce investment risk. And then they go on to end with, diversification is the simplest way to boost your investment returns while reducing risk. By choosing not to put all your eggs in one basket, you protect your portfolio from market volatility. The concept of diversification in investment is well known and considered to be a very wise strategy when investing your money, but does this concept translate to our goals as Christians as it relates to salvation? Should our focus be broad and wide with the concept of covering our bases, or should we instead keep all of our eggs in one basket? Let's first look at the concept of investment as relates to the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God an investment, and is it diversified? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We'll get a quick explanation. Verse 44, this is the parable of the hidden treasure. Again, this is Jesus speaking, giving his direction on this meaning. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. So he found this treasure in somebody else's field, and he hid the treasure in the same field so no one else could find it. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So this gentleman gives up everything because he sees the value of that treasure as exceeding all that he owns. Okay. So apparently, it's a very important thing, this kingdom of heaven. The only way to that treasure is through Jesus. That's my next point. The only way to that treasure is through Jesus, who is the way, and there is no other name by which we may be saved. That means no other idols or false gods, no other people, not our friends, not our family, and not even old Kelso, me. Not yourself. Okay? He is the only way. We can learn this in John chapter 14 in verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is a very authoritative statement by Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 4, in verse 11, we get this support. Verse 11 and 12. This, being Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which became the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no way out of it. Jesus is the only way to that kingdom that is of infinite value. And Jesus also describes this way or path as narrow and difficult. So this is my third point. We can go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Starting in verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You can hear the golden rule in there. And it also is defined in the law and the prophets. So this is the instruction that we get from those words. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I happen to like a lot of Christian pop and stuff, but you know what? There's a lot of junk in there. And what I mean by that is it can lead you astray in what is your confidence or what is why you're here. And so they will talk about Jesus or sing about Jesus and how he's always there for them in times of trouble. And it's true, he is. And he accepts me just with all of my flaws, and he's waiting for me to come back, which is true, as long as I'm coming back. But they leave out the fact that all of our trials and difficulties in this life, whether we're causing them ourselves or someone else is causing them, that isn't the difficult part. The difficult part is the way. It's narrow and it's difficult. Of course, we are given strength to do it. Okay, so it's very important that Christians understand you do have to try. That you love the treasure so much, you give everything up for it. He even instructs us to give our soul devotion to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So Jesus, in Matthew 6:33, Roy and I were just talking about this earlier. He brought it up. But Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things being, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The normal natural things humans worry about, right? And we can devote ourselves to that. But what Jesus is telling us is if you devote yourself to him and his way, to God the Father and his way, to the kingdom of God and that goal, he will provide. And that's extremely important to understand when you, it helps you understand why that is so valuable. Additionally, we have received the Word of God, which explains all proper behaviors and devotions. So we can go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. We might talk about this being like first fruits. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. And when you hear truth, we can be reminded of John chapter 17 and verse 17, where Jesus asked the Father to sanctify us by that truth because his word is truth. The gospel of our salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is what makes the difficult way possible. That Holy Spirit that God gives to us that we do not earn, but we say we love your way, we are sorry, we appreciate the sacrifice of Christ, and then he gives us his Spirit. Verse 14, who is the guarantee, or which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That very word gives us numerous human examples of soul devotion to God, which proves to us this way is achievable. So we've got this word of God, but we've got in that word people who have also followed God, and we've watched their lives and how they dealt with their circumstances and how they remained faithful to God. So we, of course, see that in the faith chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Nothing in between. We're either a stranger or we're not. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, meaning they have no homeland now. They're still seeking, and they died seeking. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Okay, we do have the opportunity to give up. We have the opportunity to re-enter the world and be a part of that world and just forget all of the values that God has given us, all of the hope, because there is a great deal of hope in what we have been promised. But they didn't do that, and we don't need to either. Verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. So very specifically, God's kingdom. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Is the return of Jesus the basket which holds all of our eggs? Or have we diversified our interests and devotions, our investments, in order to stabilize our quote, unquote, profits? Life is full of distractions. We could be tempted to allow, and even intentionally, for just a little bit of this or that vice. We could devote too much to our occupation. There's plenty of instruction on how we need to work and work with all our might, and whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. But you can also be distracted from your duties to the church, to the people of God, to your family. We could devote too much to unconverted families. No, you're not supposed to neglect your family. You're supposed to love them, take care of them, play your role in that family. But you could also compromise with your family and the family of God and put too much emphasis on that instead of your role in this family. We can become obsessed with entertainments and hobbies to the neglect of our time with God and the house of God. Believe it or not, the above temptations, distractions, and misguided reasonings all take us away from devotion to the kingdom of God. That's what they do. They're characterized by God as wisdom that is found in this world. Wisdom of the world. Don't worry. It's not good wisdom. I see what you're doing there, Sharon. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll read in verses 18 through 20. For the message of the cross is foolishness, or the stake. Mr. Martin's, the stake or the tree. Is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Okay, finally, in my last point, hearkening back to Hebrews, we are then admonished in chapter 12 to drop all distraction and follow the example of those that were mentioned in chapter 11. So in verse chapter Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was that joy? Was it not to be with us as changed, born beings of the family of God? He wants that to happen, and he was willing to die for it. So for our side of it, don't we want to be with him and each other in that same capacity, as loving one another forever in eternity, perfectly righteous? That's just a wonderful time coming. So in review, number one, the kingdom of God is likened to a singular treasure we should be willing to give up all other things to possess. Number two, the only way to that kingdom is through Christ. Three, that way is narrow and difficult. Four, that way is succinctly defined as seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That same way is clarified in the Word of God, and only in the Word of God, defined as truth. We having the Holy Spirit as a seal for achieving that truth. We have been given examples of those who successfully, fully invested in God's kingdom. And boy, they made mistakes. We make mistakes. This is about investment. This is about doing your best, loving that way and desiring that treasure. They made plenty of mistakes, and we make plenty of them. But that's not the point. They kept going. They didn't give up. They did not return to their old country. They stayed on the mission. And seven, we are admonished to follow their example, meaning we have been given the criteria through their example of how to apply this devotion, how to apply the Word of God. This Feast of Trumpets represents a time when judgment, not the final judgment, but a very powerful judgment, will come down hard on this earth. But it also foresees a day of salvation to all those who gave everything they had to invest in God's priceless kingdom. Do we have our eggs in multiple baskets in our lives? Because only one basket is the right basket. So let's make sure all of our eggs are in that basket. We must be all or nothing investors in the kingdom of heaven.